Welcome, welcome, welcome to the first episode of the Just Talk Hoops podcast. I am your host, editor, producer, and really the whole podcast right now. My name is Mason. I'm a Nets fan. I have been my whole life. I love NBA basketball, especially the NBA. I watch some college, watch some WNBA as well, but really what I'm most knowledgeable about is the NBA, which is mostly what we'll be talking about on this podcast. Just current stuff happening in the NBA. We'll do some rankings. We'll do really whatever. Today, what we'll be doing is just talking about my predictions for the season, which of course are always wrong. No one's ever been perfect predicting a season. So anyone listening, anyone watching, if you have different predictions, make sure to hit me up on socials. Just Talk Hoops on Twitter, all lowercase, and Just Talk Hoops Pod on Instagram. And feel free to leave any suggestions, any comments, any questions you want me to talk about on the pod, anything like that. And like I said, what will be on today's episode, all the predictions, we'll be doing standings, we'll be doing awards, so let's get right into it. We're going to start with our standings today, and we're going to start with the Eastern Conference, just because I think that's a less competitive conference this year. That's the conference that I feel like will be easier to rank, just because you've got some defined teams at the top who are going to be at the top. They might shift around a little bit, but you've also got teams on the bottom who are just really not going to be good. They're, you know, capture the flag initiative, right? They're trying to be bad or just are bad in some of their cases. So we're going to start at the bottom here. This hurts me to say as a Nets fan, but the 15th seed in the Eastern Conference, missing the playoffs by a long shot, is going to be the Nets. It's an obvious tank year. They traded Mikal Bridges this last year, who was still their best player, although he didn't have the year that I think the organization was hoping he would have, because he showed flashes after he got dealt to Brooklyn in the Kevin Durant trade of being kind of an all-star caliber player. He seemed like he could be a maybe 20-point per game on efficient two-way player shooting. Efficient shooting two-way player. There we go. And although he's still a very good basketball player, there was too much pressure put on him in a very poorly run organization in Brooklyn. The coaching was bad. I watched it firsthand. They're just every game you could just tell that they weren't together as a group. There wasn't this energy that they needed, because if you're not a great roster, you need energy to compete. They didn't have that. However, they traded Mikal this last season. Obviously, he's teaming up with the Nova Knicks. We'll get that talked about later. But for now, we're going to talk about the Nets side. Now, the Nets side, I think that is one of the best trades that has been pulled off by the Brooklyn Nets in a while. They got a ton of first-round picks in return for Mikal Bridges. They set up their future very well. They obviously got some players in it as well. I think that's less impactful. I think really what you're looking at is they're going to be bad, but they're going to have the picks to either be bad and get young players and be good in the future, or to make a blockbuster deal, which this franchise has shown that they're willing to do with trading like guys such as Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, James Harden, although I realize some of them were signed, but they go after the big names, right? And some big names want to come here, although obviously that's not the case right now with the roster they have. But they'll be set up for the future, especially since they got their pick back from the Rockets, which will be great for them this year. If they're going to be really bad. And if they have their own pick, then there's actually an upside to being that bad. Plus, you've got guys to be excited about this year. Cam Thomas last year showed some bursts as one of the most electrifying scorers in the league. He has the ability to take over a game and give defenses 40, and he's still very young. Now, obviously, he has weaknesses in his game right now. His really most stuff besides the scoring, he hasn't shown a great playmaking instinct. He takes shots that are questionable, which means if he's having an off night, he still might get you 15 to 20 points, but it's going to be an inefficient, maybe turnover prone 15 to 20 points, which is something he's going to have to work on. I do think he improved with that last year. Later in the year, I thought that him and Claxton had some great connections, but there were also just shots that he was taking that weren't good shots. He was missing the open man. Still something for Nets fans to be excited about. I know I am. On top of that, like I mentioned Clax earlier when I was talking about Cam, he's also one of those guys who flies under the radar sometimes, but he's one of the most versatile, impactful defenders in the NBA. He's obviously got great length. He's a big. He's got great shot blocking instinct. He's been one of the top guys in shots blocked for a couple seasons now. Hasn't been able to crack the all-defensive teams, partially because the team defense is just bad, and partially because there are bigger names, there are still better defenders than him. But on top of the rim protection, which is an obvious when you watch every game, you see the rim protection, he can give you three blocks on any night. He's also a great perimeter defender, and he can defend really well in isolation as compared to most big men. He's athletic. He's quick. I think he did a great job when he'd get pulled out to the perimeter. He does a great job sticking with even superstars and stopping them from getting to their spots, which is incredible to see. What he's going to need to grow this year is going to be his offensive creation. He's obviously a great lob threat, but on a Nets team that doesn't have many creators, doesn't have many guys who are going to be able to take over on offense, he's going to have to be one of those guys who can really just learn to be one of the main options instead of being solely on the defensive end. And that's just something that'll come with time and with a lot of opportunity this year. And we'll touch on one more player here before we move on. Noah Clowney, rookie year last year. I really like him as a prospect. I think him and Clax played great together when they played a big starting lineup with Clowney at the four and Clax at the five. He's also a great defender. He's got great length. He's young, and he's shown the flashes of the ability to space the floor well. And I think it'll be interesting to see. He also bulked up in the offseason, and it'll be interesting to see what he can do next year with even more opportunity, because he wasn't getting played for about the whole first half of the year. But once the Nets realized, hey, we're really not in any sort of contention, they gave him some minutes, and I think he did great things with that. So are they going to be good? No. Are they going to be fun to watch? Probably not. But there are some young guys who are worth keeping an eye on, and we'll see what they decide to do with their future. Moving on up, but not very far up, we've got the Wizards, 14th. They're still going to be bad. They're still going to be about as bad as last season. Last year, Kyle Kuzma obviously saying, oh, nobody wants to be that team that loses to the Pistons. They were that team. They were the worst team in the NBA. Do they have good players? Yes, they've got some guys who are really impactful. I think they brought in even more things to watch for me. I know Alex Saar had a bad summer league, and we'll talk more about that when we get to the awards predictions. I still think Saar has the potential to be a very solid NBA player. Obviously, he needs to fill out that offensive game a little bit. But a lot of rookies that have come in have needed to fill out their offensive game, and a lot of them have done that. I think just because a player struggles in summer league, I mean, we saw Wembanyama struggle in summer league for the first game last year. There's nothing to worry about. Maybe there's some to worry about. There's not a lot to worry about. I think you can still, as a Wizards fan, be excited about Alex Saar. I think you can be excited about his upside. I think you can be really happy you got him this offseason. On top of that, they brought in some guys, Malcolm Brogdon, Jonas Valanciunas. Those are both very impactful role players if they're on the right team. I don't think they are. They're not meant for a role that they're going to be in Washington. And although they'll help the team maybe win some more games than last year, I'd be surprised if they stick on the team for very long. But who knows? Maybe they really fit with Kuzma and Poole and the rest of the roster, and maybe they jump up a couple spots. But this, I think, is a fair benchmark for them at the start of the season. But they should, like I said, be happy with Sarr, be happy with the direction their franchise is going, and they could potentially be set up for success in the future. Now, 13 seed, this is a team that could maybe make a push to the play-in. They could maybe move up because they do have some really solid role guys in the Chicago Bulls. Like I said, solid role guys. They've got Coby White, who I think should have won Most Improved Player last year. No disrespect to Tyrese Maxey, but Tyrese Maxey went from an already good player to a really good player. Coby White went from kind of not a factor, right? Not many people were looking at Coby White as, oh, this is one of the Bulls' best players before last season. And he got more opportunity last year, and I think he really showed that he is one of the Bulls' best players. And this next year, he might be their best player. Now, Zach LaVine's going to give him some contention for that, but Zach LaVine's coming back from injury. We're going to have to see if he can get back to even a shadow of what he used to be, right? He used to be an all-star guy who can give you very solid scoring. But he's getting older. He's had some injury issues. He's playing on a roster that, on a team that doesn't really want him on their team. He's constantly in trade talks, but no teams have really taken an interest, it seems. That's what I've seen throughout, you know, rumors and things like that. But he's still a very solid NBA player, which I think, just because the Bulls have some of those guys that the Wizards and Nets don't, they'll be a little bit higher, could maybe make a push to the play-in. Some interesting things to look at. Modis Bouzelis is an interesting prospect. I like him as a prospect. I think that he'll be in the contention for Rookie of the Year. I've seen a lot of people saying that he's the favorites. Once again, like I said, we'll get to that later in the episode. But I think Bulls fans should really be excited about that kid. He brings some things that really, in the NBA, could be honed to make him a star player, as long as they develop him right. Another thing that would be interesting to watch, Josh Giddey joining this Bulls team, he's going to need to improve. He's going to need to show that he can be played in those clutch moments, that he's no longer kind of a liability from behind the arc late in games. And if he can kind of get some of that, he can maybe jump up a little bit. He could help the Bulls actually be an interesting team with some things to look forward to. And of course, maybe the most interesting thing of the season for the Chicago Bulls, this is what I'm most excited for. Lonzo Ball is expected to play in their season opener, which is incredible. He's missed the last 2 years. I'm hoping the best for him. I'm sure everyone is. The city of Chicago is going to be great, going to be extremely happy to see him back. And even if he can't get back to the level as of a player that he was before, the fact that he was even able to recover from injuries when people were saying that he wasn't even able to sit down and stand back up, that's incredible. And so if you're a Bulls fan, even if you don't have much else to be excited for this season, you can be excited for that season opener and that kind of re-debut for Lonzo Ball. And we'll keep moving here. Another Central Division team. This team, I really want to put them into play-in contention. I really want to put them into playoff contention because I do actually like the build-up or the roster construction of this team, and that's the Detroit Pistons. They should have been better than they were last year. Their roster does not make them seem like a historically bad team. You compare them to some of those other really bad teams. You look at them versus the 2016-76ers, right? The Pistons are better. Cade Cunningham is a good basketball player. He could help them lead this team to the playoffs, and I wouldn't be surprised if I was way off on my prediction for them this year and they jump up to the 9 or 8 seed. Do I think that'll happen? No, but I think they've got the potential to do that. They still have the guys like Duren, Jaden Ivey, Asar Thompson. They're all young. They're extremely young. I'm a big fan of Jalen Duren. I think that he's a really good player. I think he's a really good prospect. I think he should help this Pistons team be better than they were last year. He'll continue to improve. Jaden Ivey, I'm not sure how well he fits into this team. I'm not sure if he's in there long-term goals, but he's still young. He could still improve to be their bona fide backcourt. With Cade, Asar Thompson, good rookie campaign. Obviously, incredible perimeter defender, incredible athlete. His offensive game still leaves a lot to be desired. Same with his brother, but he's shown flashes of he's going to be a guy in this league. He's going to help the Pistons be a team in this league. And that, I think Pistons fans have a lot to be excited with those young guys on top of other ones, on top of Killian Hayes is gone. Monty Williams, for some reason, loved Killian Hayes, wanted to start him every game. Not sure what was up with that. Killian Hayes is now a Brooklyn Net, which, of course, as a Nets fan, makes me extremely happy. Yeah, it doesn't. But final thing about the Pistons, Tobias Harris is a controversial guy because he, for a long time, had one of the biggest contracts in NBA basketball, which means that he had more money than most people in the world, right? And he didn't deserve that much money. He wasn't a good enough player to get that much money. And as Jimmy Butler put it, Tobias Harris over me. They kept Tobias Harris over Jimmy Butler. They kept Tobias Harris. And there's more to that story than that. I'm not going to go into that whole thing. But the fact is, they kept Tobias Harris for longer than they should have in Philly. And they paid him more than they should have. Just for him to not play well at all in an elimination game in the playoffs. And so, of course, there's a negative light on Tobias Harris. There's a lot of problems revolving around him. However, the fact is he's still a good basketball player, and he's still a better basketball player than the Pistons had on much of their roster last year. Once again, Killian Hayes. He's still a guy who can score well. He's athletic, he's big, he can stick with you on defense. He's not an incredibly impactful defender, but he's a good player to have on your basketball team, as long as you're not paying him the 10th most in basketball, or I can't remember the exact number, but he was up there for a long time. So I think he'll help them be a little more competitive in that playoff race, and we'll just have to see how that team can do, but I am very interested to see it. Just missing the play-in in my projections is the Toronto Raptors. They're similar to the Bulls. They're better, but they're similar to the Bulls. They've got a lot of good role players that I'm not quite sure mesh well enough or are enough to get to the playoffs. They're led by Scottie Barnes. That's the main thing that separates them from the Bulls. They've got an all-star caliber guy. He's young still. He could still improve. He's a great two-way player. I'm a big fan of Scottie Barnes as a player. I think he's going to be really great for Toronto, and they should definitely keep him around. They've also got Emmanuel Quickley, who had a great year last year after being moved from New York. Really impactful guy, really stepped it up once getting to Toronto. RJ Barrett as well had good games. He had a pretty solid campaign with the Raptors last year. Is he gonna develop into the guy that we were hoping he would out of college when he was drafted second overall? It doesn't seem like it. It doesn't seem like he's gonna be a superstar in this league, but he's a guy who can be an impactful player. He's a guy who can potentially help win you a game, and many games, not just one. I do think this roster could definitely look different at the end of the year. RJ Barrett, like I said, he's really good. Do they keep him the whole year? I don't know. They've got some other guys that just, I don't know how well they fit into this team's schemes and their plans. I think it might depend how good they are at the trade deadline. If they're a team that's definitely in playoff contention and they're in a play-in spot and they could be really impactful, then they'll probably keep their roster because there's not much you have to move. Maybe you make a move for a guy who can come in and really help you solidify that. We'll see. If they're bad, maybe they try and get some more picks. Maybe they try and get some more young guys. Maybe they try and fix it. But we'll just have to see. These teams are always tough to predict, the ones that we don't know how good they're going to be. And now we get to the plan, right? Now we get to 10 through 7, the guys who duke it out, one-game series against each other, trying to get to the playoffs, trying to play some of those top seeds. And we've seen that, like the case of the Heat a couple years ago, those playing teams can go far. Just because they're going to be playing a top seed doesn't mean they're eliminated from contention. But they're obvious, they're not playoff teams just established throughout the regular season, but they're teams that could make some noise, maybe make it into the playoffs. And starting that group off, we've got the Charlotte Hornets. This is the first time in a while that the Charlotte Hornets have been anywhere near competitive-ish, right? They had Kemba Walker, cardiac Kemba, one of my favorite players really ever. He helped bring them to some sort of contention, although it wasn't much. They haven't been a team historically that's been impactful, that's been a contender. They're not a storied franchise, right? They're closer to poverty. But now they've got an exciting young team, and they've got a lot of room to improve. Last year, obviously, they missed the playoffs, as they have for a while, but LaMelo wasn't healthy for much of that. And if LaMelo Ball can stay healthy, that's really the X factor for this team. They could be a really solid team. If he can't, they miss the playoffs again. Then probably one of those teams I mentioned earlier, the Raptors or the Pistons, probably jumps up, takes their spot. It really depends on how healthy LaMelo can stay. And they're going to need Brandon Miller to take a big jump and show that he can fit in besides LaMelo. He had a really good rookie campaign last year, but like I said, LaMelo missed a lot of time, so they didn't really have time to build that kind of coherency as a backcourt. But I think Brandon Miller could really help this team, and I'm excited to see. I think he was kind of overshadowed by Chet and Wembanyama last year, but he is going to be a really solid NBA player. I think he's got tons of potential, and I think he could achieve a lot of that potential this year. And I think they could really reach the playoffs for the first time in a while. They could at least reach the play-in. I don't know if they're going to beat out the teams ahead of them, but at least that's a step up from where they've been for a while. Hornets fans should be happy with that because they haven't had much to be happy about besides that. Moving up, this time the 9 seed, the Hawks. Hawks are kind of a heliocentric team, but in a weird way. Trey is an offensive powerhouse. Not just scoring-wise, but passing-wise. I think people realize that Trey can shoot from basically another state, but I think sometimes what they fail to realize is he's also one of the best passers in the league right now. He's incredible. He's led the league in assists multiple times. I think he should be able to lead the Hawks to the play-in, especially if some other guys around him can step up, namely Jalen Johnson. Jalen Johnson was also another guy that I thought was a good candidate for most improved player last year. He had a great year. He's really continued to improve. I think he'll improve even more. I think he's got a skill set that really allows him to improve if he can keep being consistent. And he's going to have to be the second option this year with DeJounte leaving. He's going to be a really solid player. He's going to give them a lot of production. That's what I predict, at least. And that's what the Hawks should hope for. He's still young, so if he can show that he can produce as the number two guy right now, that'll be incredible for them. On top of that, Risachet, these names get me, man. I really can't pronounce these names. He gets a lot of hate for being the first overall pick, which I think is weird. People have already written him off as a bust or as a bad pick. When we haven't seen him play NBA basketball yet, which is just weird to me. I don't get that. I think that and I'll be perfectly transparent, I don't know a ton about the kid's game, so I can't give you an extremely in-depth take about why he will or won't be impactful in the NBA, why or why not he's the right fit for the Hawks, like why he was picked first overall. I can't tell you that. All I can tell you is NBA scouts, for the most part, are good at their jobs, And if they are saying at the start of the season, hey, this is our guy, this is who we want with the number one overall pick, for the most part, I trust that there's at least something there until I'm proven wrong. Obviously, Anthony Bennett cases do happen where there is nothing there, but there's been a lot of first overall picks, and there's not a whole lot of them who have not been good at all. So I think Risichet should be solid, and we'll just have to see how he fits in with the Hawks. And then some of those older guys like Bogdan, Clint, we'll have to see how they fit in and if they stay on the team. We'll just see. Moving up to the 8th seed, who just a few years ago would have made the playoffs without having to play the playing games, we've got the Miami Heat. Their complacency with their roster is frustrating. Their roster hasn't shown itself to be a contender. Obviously, they made the finals against the Nuggets a couple years ago. Then they lost in 5 games. And then last year, they just run it back with basically the same group. They do bring in Terry Rozier. I did like that for the most part. And they don't go anywhere last year. And I think the Heat fans were hoping, okay, this offseason we're going to make a change and we're going to say, hey, we're still a contender while Jimmy Butler is still a good player. And they didn't, which I think disappointed a lot of people. I just think Jimmy isn't who he used to be, and they're still trying to ride him to the finals, which isn't going to work anymore. They're still a good team. Don't get me wrong. I still have them as a potential team that could get to the playoffs. I just don't think that after they get to the playoffs, they're going to go anywhere. Couple things to look out for. I think Bam could potentially have a defensive player of the year type of year. Obviously, he's got to compete against Wembanyama and Gobert and AD and all those guys, but he's a really good defender still. I think he could really help this. I think I would honestly say Bam is the best player on the Heat right now. I don't think Jimmy Butler is that guy anymore. He's getting old, but he's still very good. Can Tyler Hero be efficient and kind of solidify himself on this team is another thing that I'd watch. He's shown that he can be a microwave scoring presence. He's shown he could be a great sixth man who's really impactful, but he hasn't shown me a ton of efficiency. Like, oh, I'm always going to bring you this every single night. He brings it some nights, and then when he's not there, when he's not bringing it, sometimes they still win, which makes you think, how well does he fit onto this team? Does he stay here? We'll have to see. And then finally, they're going to need depth, and Jaime Jaquez improving would be huge for them. He had a good rookie of the year campaign, or not rookie of the year, but he had a good rookie year, and he really showed that he could be a good player, but he is an older rookie, which I think has made some wonder, is he going to improve that much, or is he just going to continue to be a solid role player without drastic improvement? We'll have to see. And the final team making the play-in is the Cleveland Cavaliers. This team, talent-wise, is good enough to jump up a couple spots. However, I just don't know if this team stays the same. So I don't know if their talent sticks around. It feels like, ever since this team was assembled, talk about them being disassembled. Darius Garland was one of the main names in trade talks last year. People were thinking, oh, does he fit in with this team? Do him in spite of fit? He didn't have as good of a year as I think Cavs fans were hoping. Not as good as the organization was hoping. Does he stay? I don't know. Jared Allen, same thing. Well, not exactly the same thing. Jared Allen had a very solid year. He's a very solid NBA player. He's one of the best rebounders in the league. One of my favorite players in the league. Very efficient, very impactful. But the Jared Allen and Evan Mobley fit hasn't worked out great for them. They were hoping, I think, Mobley would become a stretch four, like serious shooting threat, but he hasn't become that. His offensive game hasn't developed, which is something they're going to need. They're going to need him to take a leap if they want to continue to be in playoff contention. But I don't know if Jared Allen is going to be around when Mobley takes that leap. And then there were a lot of talks about Donovan Mitchell moving. I don't think he's going to. There are still rumors, and he could. We've seen crazier things happen. We just saw it happen this past week with Karl Anthony Towns. That it didn't seem like he was going to get moved either, but there we are. And then really the reason I rank him lower because of the trade uncertainty is just it's uncertainty, right? We don't know how good this team looks. We don't know if they get good return for those trades or if they get something that just doesn't quite fit and they just can't make a playoff push. And also, they've never been able to get a good small forward with this current team. Obviously, they had LeBron before that. But since then, they've had Isaac Okoro, Chetty Osman, Max Strus as their starting small forwards, who are all solid NBA players. But if you're really looking to make a playoff push, especially if you struggle with shooting because you have two bigs who aren't great shooters, you're going to need someone who can be really consistent. We'll see if they are able to fix that. And now we get to the playoffs for the Eastern Conference. Just six teams left. We're over halfway done with the conference. At six, we've got the Pacers. The Pacers are one of the most fun teams to watch in basketball. They're fast-paced. They just play in a way that you watch it and you're like, this is how I want basketball to be played all the time. Does it always work? No. They got swept in the Eastern Conference Finals last year. And partially, that's the Celtics being really good. And partially, it's the Pacers aren't as good as the Celtics. That's just how the playoffs work. Some people said the Pacers shouldn't have even got there because injuries, blah, blah, blah. But injuries are part of the playoffs. Injuries are part of basketball. We can't make excuses for teams because of injuries. If we could, then the Nets should have a championship. But, you know, we won't get into that. They're led by Siakam and Haliburton, obviously. I think Siakam will have more of a chance to gel with this team because he'll have a full year here instead of getting traded. And also, Benedict Mathurin, they'll be bringing back for probably their bench spot. Nembhard will start Mathurin off the bench. I think Mathurin had a good rookie campaign. Then, since then, kind of, he didn't have a great year last year before getting injured. But I like Mathurin as a prospect. We'll talk more about him later, actually. But he's a very solid NBA player. I think he could help the depth of this team even more. And he could help them be a playoff team, which is what I have them as. That's what I think they are. They're a playoff team. They're a good basketball team. Another young, fun team, the Orlando Magic. Possibly the best social media team in sports right now. They're only going to improve as well. I think they could look like an actual contender this year. And if I'm one of those top teams and I see that the Orlando Magic are my first or second round matchup, it's no longer, they're young and inexperienced. It's okay, we have to game plan. They've got interesting pieces. Paolo has somehow, as a first round pick who's an all-star caliber player, has flown under the radar. Franz Wagner, also a very good player, also still very young. The two of them do have the problem of, can they continue to shoot consistently? Both of them have had some issues. Franz Wagner had a rough three-point shooting year last year. Paolo, obviously, and this was 2 years ago in his rookie campaign, but he had that, I believe it was the month of February, did he not hit a three? He only hit a couple threes, something like that. He shot very, very poorly from three. And although that was 2 years ago, you need to make sure that those guys can continue to shoot consistently. Luckily for them, they brought in one of the most consistent shooters in the league in Kentavious Caldwell-Pope this past year. One of the best 3-and-D guys in the NBA. Huge loss for the Nuggets, huge gain for the Magic. I think that'll be great for them. I really like that pickup for them. And one more question I have about them is the point guard room on that team going to shift? Because right now they kind of have three point guards who are pretty clearly point guards in Cole Anthony, Markelle Fultz, and Anthony Black. Now, the thing is, they all have their strengths, right? Markelle Fultz, solid defender. He's made a great comeback after having some injury issues before that, having his jump shot all screwed up. But he might be right now the best player of the group. Cole Anthony, obviously still young, still, and I think fun, which is one of the reasons that they keep him around, is he's a fun, they like him. He's good for morale. I mean, everyone likes Cole Anthony. He's funny. He's young. He's always on the social media. And then Anthony Black, obviously the youngest of the three, just a rookie last year, showed flashes. And I don't think it'll shift too much. If one does get moved, I think it might be Fultz. But I don't think it gets shifted around too much. I don't think you need to. I think you can kind of figure out a way to play all of them or have one of them as a reserve for injuries, because we know injuries can be an issue, especially for a team that's looking to contend, looking to go deep in the playoffs. And their first-round matchup would be the Milwaukee Bucks. The Bucks are such an interesting team because they have weaknesses as a team, right? That was shown last year. Their perimeter defense was terrible. Dame didn't look like himself really last year. He had his moments, and I think he could have a resurgence this year, but he wasn't quite good enough to constitute disassembling your team for him. Chris Middleton, obviously getting older in the playoffs. He played great last year. He went berserk against the Pacers for a little bit, was able to kind of keep the Bucks in that series despite the injury issues. But he is getting older. He's no longer an all-star caliber player. On top of that, Brook Lopez is getting much older. He's no longer as impactful of a rim protector, which is tough because they already have troubles in the perimeter defense. You don't need troubles in the interior defense as well. But the thing is, they still have Giannis. And Giannis is so good at basketball that might be enough. He's insane. He's one of the best players we've ever seen. Now they just need him to stay healthy, because it's now been 2 years in a row where he's been injured in the early playoff stages. You can't have that anymore. You're going to have Giannis stay healthy if you want to contend. You also need Dame resurgence. You maybe need to shape up the roster. We'll see what it looks like for the Bucks. I still think they'll be one of these top four teams. I just don't know if they'll beat out the top three. Speaking of the top three, number three, the Knicks. Some people are very, very high on this roster. There was a lot of roster shakeup this past offseason, and I think it's made them better. We're going to have to see how they fit together. There are some issues, I think. The depth doesn't look great. They have a great like top six, top seven, but the depth, other than that, doesn't look incredible. They might have to fix that up, or maybe they'll be... I mean, we've seen teams without incredible depth go on runs before. I mean, the Nuggets from a few years ago, their depth wasn't great. It was really, they had a great top five and a couple impactful guys off the bench, and that was enough to get it done. Difference is, the Nuggets had Nikola Jokic. That being said, they're still a very good basketball team. Karl-Anthony Towns being brought in gives them a boost, right? Julius Randle had his issues with consistency and injuries and the fans not really liking him, but Karl-Anthony Towns is better than Julius Randle. I think we can all agree on that. Karl-Anthony Towns also has his issues. Some fans also have an issue with him, which I think is kind of weird. But he's a very good basketball player. He's one of the best stretch bigs we've ever seen. And some people get mad at him for saying, oh, I'm the best shooting big to ever play the game. Besides Dirk, he might be. He's very talented. He should help this team. It will be interesting to see who they start. Obviously, they also brought in McHale. So obviously, Jalen Brunson will start. Obviously, Karl-Anthony Towns will start. But will Towns start at the four and have Mitchell Robinson at the five? Although he's also in trade rumors, so we'll see if he even sticks around. Does McHale start with OG Anunoby? Does McHale start with Josh Hart? Do we see something else? Do McHale, Anunoby, and Hart start? That, which rhymes. but that kind of weakens their interior defense. Then you're relying on Karl-Anthony Towns as your sole rim protector, and he's a good player, but he's not an incredible rim protector. We'll just have to see what that looks like, but I am excited to watch that team, even as a Nets fan. Second seed, that's going to be the Philadelphia 76ers. If they can stay healthy, they should be a huge threat. I think some people, because of the Knicks making so many moves and because the Celtics are still so good and because all of that, blah, 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 they're forgetting that the 76ers got better this year. Not only did they bring in Paul George, who is still an elite player, although he's maybe not in his prime, but they brought in depth. They brought in Caleb Martin, which I thought was a great signing. They brought in Andre Drummond, who is still an impactful guy off the bench. He's still one of the better rebounders in basketball, which seems insane because he's been that way for a long time. But we saw in Chicago, he, like, once a month, it felt like, had a game where you look at the stat sheet and you're like, what the hell? Which the Sixers are going to need, especially since they need a backup for Embiid because he just hasn't been able to stay healthy. But if this team can stay healthy, I think they should be a serious threat to contend this year. Joel Embiid, people don't like him. People say he flops. Joel Embiid is maybe the most dominant scorer, not only of today, but that we've seen in a while. Joel Embiid, he's ridiculous. He's ridiculous. Plus, they have two other all-star caliber players in Tyrese Maxey and Paul George. Like I said, they brought in more depth. This team is just, it's well-built. I think that they take a shot with this team, and they've got to hope it works, because otherwise you look at this roster, you say, what do we do? Like, we've put so many teams around. The process has been going on for a really long time now. If they can't make it past the second round with this team, I think they've got to seriously think about some things, but we're not to that point yet. Number one, the Celtics. I don't have a ton to say about the Celtics. I know I've talked for a while about these other teams. They're still the top dog in the East. Right, they should be far and away the favorite to win the conference and probably the championship. They're well coached. They have a talented roster. They have maybe the best top five in the league. They brought in Lonnie Walker, which I thought was a great addition. I'm a big fan of Lonnie. I think he's a really good player. I think before he got injured last year, he was having a great year with the Nets. He was one of the things that I was excited about, which wasn't many as a Nets fan, but the Celtics, there's not much to say. They're a ridiculously good basketball team. There were some weird controversies over the Olympics, but they're going to be just fine. They're going to be one of the best teams in the NBA. Okay, I know I've been going for a while here, but now we're going to go with the Western Conference. Sorry, this is obviously, to me, the more competitive conference. And there's a lot to talk about here. I'll try and keep it brief. I know we've been talking for a while already, but I think predictions, it's good to go in depth. Other episodes, subsequent episodes might not be quite as long. I'm not quite sure what I'll do for all of those, but I do have some things that for the Western Conference I'm going to have to talk about. At the bottom, we'll start at the bottom again, only can go up from here, is the Trailblazers. The Trailblazers wouldn't be this low in the East because they're a good basketball team. No, they're not. But they've got good basketball players. Anthony Simons and Shaedon Sharpe, that's what I'm going to be most interested to see, is can one of them kind of establish themselves as that guy? And does the other stay? Because they don't seem like two guys who would really start beside each other. Their games don't really complement each other. I think they're kind of better as a, right now, a one guy and then a guy off the bench to back him up. But they've both shown signs that they can maybe jump to be a one guy. And if that happens, does the other one get moved? We'll see. That probably doesn't happen this year, but it will be an interesting thing to keep track of, kind of that starting role competition between the two of them. Or maybe they figure out a way to start them both. On top of that, the Klingon drafting, I think, is something to watch. He obviously had a great collegiate career, and we'll see how well he translates to the NBA. And I think the most interesting thing for me this year for them is going to be the Scoot Henderson. Can he redeem himself? Because he was disappointing last year for a lot of fans. He came in as maybe the second most hyped up prospect last year, besides obviously Wemby. And he didn't show that. He wasn't one of the best rookies last year. He had a lot of issues. However, we've seen rookies have a rocky start before, and we've seen them bounce back from that perfectly fine. And I think Scoot will be no exception. I think Scoot will be perfectly fine. I think some people overreacted, but we'll have to see. And if he isn't perfectly fine, then what do the Trailblazers do? Who knows? A little better than the Trailblazers. This team, another one that would be better if they were in the Eastern Conference. Unfortunately, they're not, is the Jazz. The roster just isn't good enough to make any noise. They have some pieces that could look good. And they're going to look better this year because they're bringing in new jerseys, which I love. I think that's so much, they're so much better than the neon yellow practice jerseys they were wearing before. But like I said, players to watch, Keontae and Hendricks could potentially grow. This roster is kind of weird because they've got some guys who are trying to establish themselves, some guys who are kind of established as not that great, and then some actually pretty good players, namely Lauri Markkanen. But can Keontae George and Taylor Hendricks kind of show that they're guys that the Jazz are going to keep in the long run instead of trade pieces or just keep them for now but get rid of them when their contract's up? I think Keontae George at least will. Taylor Hendricks, we'll see. I think that he still had. I think he will. I think he's still got upside, and he's already a solid NBA player. They brought in three rookies this year, or three really impactful rookies: Cody Williams, Isaiah Collier, and Kyle Filipowski. Right. Cody Williams is one of my favorite prospects. Now that could be because I am partial to the Buffs. But I think he's interesting. He's kind of a jack-of-all-trades guy. Obviously, he's already got a brother in the league, and Jalen Williams. And I'm excited to see what he could turn into. And then as the other two as well, I think, will get really good opportunity. Since this team isn't going to be great, they'll get opportunity as young guys who can grow. And hopefully the Jazz hit on at least one of them for their franchise. If not, they're going to have a rough go. And then going back to Lauri Markkanen, will he get moved to a contender? Will they finally free Lauri, or is he going to be stuck here? And I mean an actual contender, sorry, Warriors fans. But he, like, yes, he's very good. Yes, he brings the Jazz wins, but is he going to stay there for the long run? I really don't know. Will he still be there at the trade deadline? I'm not sure. We'll have to see how that goes. This seems insane to me, and 13-11 were extremely contentious spots. That's really what the West says. What does that say about the West, right? Versus the East, where 13-11, I was like, they could maybe be higher, they could maybe be higher, but I'm not super picky about these teams. The West, I spent a while thinking about this, and I don't know. But at 13, I have the Clippers. It's crazy to think they're this low, because last year they were the 4 seed. And they've got good players. They've still got Kawhi Leonard, who when he plays is great. The problem is when he plays, which isn't often, he never plays enough to really bring this team much. And I can't say, but this season he's going to be healthy, because he's only getting older. I wish he would stay healthy. I love Kawhi. He just hasn't been able to. Harden, obviously getting older. He's in his 16th year in the league now. He's no longer Houston Harden. He's now older, not as great Harden. And their depth is just terrible. Terrence Mann, he's a solid player, but he's not starting shooting guard worthy. And their third best player right now is Ivica Zubac, as opposed to Paul George beforehand. they're just, maybe Kawhi could boost this team to the play, and maybe Harden can help out with that. I just don't see this team being great, even if they do make it to the play-in. I can't see them staying healthy or competitive enough. And it's just, it's going to be rough for that team. Right above them, another team that struggles with depth is the Warriors. Steph's going to do his best, right? As long as Steph is on this team, they're not going to be terrible. Besides, obviously, that 1 year, 2021. But that was mainly because Steph was injured. Steph is kind of the soul of this team, but he doesn't have much to work with. The Warriors just don't look like they're the dynasty they used to be anymore. They're going to need Pods or Kuminga to take a jump to be the number two guy. Draymond is still there. He's still impactful, but he's not really a scorer. He never really has been. He's an all-time great for sure. He's a Hall of Famer. In most people's book, I think he's the great defender, still good playmaker, great MMA fighter, but not a great scorer. It never really has been, and if for them to make a play-in push, they need one of those guys to take a huge jump, and I just don't really see that happening, so we'll have to see what happens to the Warriors. And then just missing out on a play, and I wish this team would make the playoffs. They'd be so fun to watch. It's the San Antonio Spurs. They're going to be a playoff team in no time, but the West is just so competitive, and they're just going to miss out. Wemby is insane. Wemby's one of the best rookie prospects we've ever seen. He had maybe the best rookie campaign last year that we've ever seen. How much will he improve is my main question, because I have no doubt he'll improve. I have no doubt he's going to be a superstar. But is it going to be he's improving to the point where he's an all-NBA, like, first-team candidate and he is leading this team to the playoffs? Or is it going to be like he's going to be that guy? I don't know. He's already so ridiculously good. It's hard to predict how a guy like this is going to improve next year. I just hope he can stay healthy. We've seen a lot of guys with a similar build to that get injured. Another question, how does CP3 fit? Obviously, he's older. I wish this was prime CP3. Prime CP3 and current Wemby would be insane, but it's not. It's 40-year-old Chris Paul. So how will he fit in? I mean, I still like the fit, even though he's old. He's still one of the smartest players we've ever seen. He's still one of the greatest playmakers. I don't know how much he has left in the tank. He obviously is no longer a great athlete, great defender, anything like that. But if his job is just to get the ball to Wemby, I think he's going to be good at that. I think he could help kind of some of the younger guys grow into that role. And speaking of those other guys, they're going to need some of them to step up. They're going to need guys like Sohan and Devin Vassell and Keldon Johnson to really be impactful for them and just make an improvement to the point where this team looks like soon they'll be in the playoffs, not like, okay, what changes do we have to make? And they'll still make changes, of course, but you just hope that it can be a sooner window rather than later. Now we get to the play-in. Once again, so competitive. This Western Conference is just nuts. 10th team in the play-in. I've got the Sacramento Kings. And this seems low to them. I'm looking back on my notes. It seems low. I don't know if they'll actually be this low. I think they could move all the way up to the 6th seed, which would... I like this Kings team. I'm kind of rooting for them in the West. I'd love for them to jump up to that 6th seed. However, they just have a lot of problems with the roster. I like the addition of DeMar. I think he'll help them be contender-ish, right? They can at least be a threat in play in basketball and definitely in playoff basketball. If you see them in the first round, I don't think you're like, oh, this is a playing team, we're going to make quick work of them. I think it's kind of, okay, we got a game plan. But their defense and things of that nature don't look great. We're going to have to see how DeMar fits in. Can Keegan Murray take another jump is another question for me. Can he because right now, obviously, he's already established that he's a really good shooter and a solid defensive guy. But can he grow even more? We'll have to see. And then the shooting guard position is interesting because Kevin Huerter has been their starter for a while. And yeah, Huerter can shoot, but that's about it. He's not a good defender. And if he's not shooting well, what is he adding to the team? That's a good question. Now, on the other end of things, you've got Keon Ellis off the bench who's shown that he is a great perimeter defender. And I think if he takes a big jump, the Kings will move up. I do kind of think this is too low of a spot for them. I just didn't know where to put them. I think Ellis could take a jump and help this team take a jump. And then Monk will probably still come off the bench, which once again seems... I mean, he's obviously better than either Ellis or Huerter, but I think it's better to have him off the bench just because of fit. Right above the Kings is the Rockets. Obviously, they just missed out on the playoffs last year, or the play-in last year, I mean. Jalen Green went insane in the second half, which was so exciting to see. Fatherhood Jalen Green is one of the greatest players we've ever witnessed, people are saying. They've got a ton of upside. This is the first time since really Harden that they've been in the playoff sweepstakes. We're going to have to see if Jalen Green can keep that consistency, if the fatherhood Jalen Green effect doesn't wear off. That would be great for Houston if he can establish that he's not just like a microwave hot and cold scorer, but that he's an actual threat every night. That would be huge for this Houston team. Now, Şengün is still their best player. We're going to have to see how good he can get. Can he take a jump on the defensive end? Obviously, they're calling him Baby Jokic. Can he really fill those shoes a little more and help lead this team to the playoffs? Once again, that's another thing we'll just have to see. So many predictions are just, this could happen, it could not. Another thing with the Rockets that we'll just have to see is their point guard competition. They brought in Reed Shepard this past year. I think he's a good player, but what's his role going to be on this team? They've still got Fred VanVleet, who is still probably their best point guard option. They've got Amen Thompson off the bench, who showed great signs in terms of he can play make, he's a crazy athlete, and he's a good defender. But on the offensive end of things, in terms of scoring the basketball, they're just going to need a little improvement from him. Same thing as his twin, which I think he could reach. But we're just going to have to see who gets that backup point guard spot. And then they could be a playoff team. They could be a team that maybe even misses the play-in. This is one of those teams that really high upside, but I can't afford to put them that high just because I don't think that's a guaranteed sure thing. And of course, nothing in sports is a guaranteed sure thing. That's what's so great about it. But they're less of a sure thing than other teams. At eight, another sure thing is the Lakers being in the play-in. The Lakers, you know, they've been in this spot for years, but it doesn't look like they're really going to move that far up or down. Bron is still getting older. And the thing is, we keep saying year after year, okay, this is the year that LeBron is too old, he no longer can do it, and that never happens. He was 40 years old and maybe the best player on an Olympic roster in terms of how he was playing in the Olympics. I think that I would put some of those other guys over him if I was to rank him in NBA basketball. But he keeps producing. It's absurd. And I don't know what to think about it. I do think Anthony Davis is about at Bron level, maybe even higher, which for the Lakers isn't a bad thing. They want Anthony Davis to be able to play at that level. Are they going to bring a center in to have Davis play the four? I'm not sure, because Anthony Davis played incredibly well at the four during the Olympics. That's kind of where he fit best in. He's said that he wants to be a four, not a five. So if they can bring in a center, that would be good, I think, for their team and their fit. Right now, probably Braun or Hachimura is starting at the four. The Redick, JJ Redick as a coach, I don't love it. Not because I don't think Redick could coach, not because I don't think he should be a coach at some point, but just because the Lakers keep trying these first-year coaches and expecting them to bring success. And I get that Darvin Ham was frustrating, but you're expecting a year one coach to come into a roster that has its fair share of turmoil and just bring them to contention when really they lost to the Nuggets because the Nuggets were a better basketball team for 2 years in a row. So you can't blame all of those losses on coaches, and I do think getting rid of Darvin Ham was the right move, but bringing in J.J. Redick might not have been. I have said this so many times this episode, I'm going to keep saying it. We'll see, right? How well does he fit in? Who does he start? Who does he play? And does D'Angelo Russell stay on the team? Lakers fans are upset with him. He's still a good player. I still like D'Angelo because of what he did in 2019 with Brooklyn. I will forever ride with D'Angelo Russell, but I will admit he is inefficient, and he has had struggles in the playoffs for the Lakers, and maybe they make some moves at the deadline. Right above them, almost to the playoffs, I've got the New Orleans Pelicans. I've been a Pelicans believer for years. I like their roster construction for the most part, and I'm hoping this is the year they finally prove me right, because they, time after time, haven't shown a ton. They have a really good 1-4, right? They've got CJ, DeJounte, Brandon, and then Zion. That's a good 1-4. The problem is their 5 depth is not good. I'm actually not even sure who the starter is for them right now. That's me being unprepared. But they lost Jonas, who was their starting for a while. But they're probably going to have to make a move to bring in. And it's not like Zion can go over to play the 5 because he's short for someone, for a 4, right? And so he'd be really short for a 5. They also have great bench depth. Herb Jones, Trey Murphy, guys like Jose Alvarado. So they've got some things that make them seem like a really good basketball team. I'm excited to see how DeJounte Murray fits in with this team. And of course, the main measure for this team, the main X factor, is going to be how healthy does Zion Williamson stay? How many games does he play? Who knows? It's the same thing as Kawhi, where I just can't trust him to stay healthy. And that's so unfortunate because I want him to stay healthy so, so bad. But it just hasn't happened. And that's disappointing, but it's all right. Hopefully he'll be able to fix that issue. It feels like every year we get, oh, Zion's looking in the best shape or the worst shape of his life. Like he's cut a bunch of weight or he's gained a bunch of weight or look at this, like he blah, 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 blah. And can we just get a full healthy season of Zion, please, for basketball, for the fans of the NBA. And I feel bad for the guy because he obviously wants to be on that court playing. And I just hope that we can get him out there. Now the playoffs. The 6th seed. Once again, the Phoenix Suns, I don't know what to think of them. They were disappointing last year, right? They got swept in the first round after Bradley Beal saying, oh, I've never been swept in my life, and then get swept. So there's a first time for everything. Brad, shout out for him trying new things. They still have a trio that's really good at scoring the ball. And I know Bradley Beal, I don't think bringing in Bradley Beal was a great move. I think they just wanted a big three, and the third person of their big three that they got didn't fit with their other two as well. They didn't really need him. When you have Kevin Durant and Devin Booker, you don't need a third elite scorer. You're fine on offense. The problem is on defense, you're not fine. Especially Yusuf Nurkic really didn't have a great year last year. I don't know how well he fits in on that team either. I do really like the Tyus Jones signing. I think That was a great signing. He's a guy, he's flown under the radar. I think people underrate him heavily. He's a great playmaker. He doesn't turn the ball over. He's very efficient. And I think he'll help kind of disperse looks between those three guys. And this team's so difficult because they could be a lower-end play-in team, and a team like the Pelicans or the Kings or any of those teams that I mentioned in the play-in could move up and take this Suns team out. And I wouldn't call the Suns a huge contender, but it's hard for me to put a team that has Devin Booker and Kevin Durant on the same team out of the playoffs. I could be proven very wrong, this team. I might just be too high on the Suns, but for now, I'm putting them at 6. The Wolves are at 5, which I know people are going, they were so much higher last year, and I had them as either the 2 or 3 seed. I was still trying to decide when I found out they got rid of Karl Anthony Towns and brought in Julius Randle and Dante DiVincenzo, who, don't get me wrong, are good players, but I don't get it. I don't get why they did that. They said, oh, we have to maximize Anthony Edwards' championship window, but you went to the Western Conference Finals last year. Yes, you lost, but you went there. You beat the Nuggets, who are the defending champions. You sweep the Suns, who have, like I said, one of the most unguardable trios. People thought that maybe that series would go the Suns' way, but no, you prove them wrong. You have a great season. If you expect Anthony Edwards to be the guy that's going to bring you to a championship, why not run it back one more year? You go to the Western Conference Finals and you blow it up because you want to be a championship contender. So instead you bring in Julius Randle, who's never been consistent in the playoffs, and put him alongside Rudy Gobert and say, hey, space the floor. That's what? Plus, Jaden McDaniels is a very good basketball player. He's a very good perimeter defender. I'm glad they kept him, but he's not a great shooter. Anthony Edwards, don't get me wrong, incredible player. I'm sure he'll improve in these aspects. But Anthony Edwards isn't a ridiculous shooter who's going to be able to space this team by himself. That's just not going to happen. Because that's not something that you can expect when you bring in Julius Randle to put alongside Rudy Gobert. Dante DiVincenzo, yeah, he's a great spacer, floor spacer. I thought it was funny how he said, oh, I want to start. And then they say, okay, how about you go sit behind Anthony Edwards on the bench? And he's a great floor spacer, but he's not going to start on that team, I don't think. So when their starting lineup is in, I don't trust their floor spacing whatsoever. That being said, they're still a good basketball team. Anthony Edwards is still a very good player. He's most people's fan favorites. I think some people are too high on him, but that's a debate for another time. They do have good depth. They have a good second unit. They still are going to have a solid defense. But I don't like that trade. And I don't put them any higher than this because of that trade. I just think that's what that team is going to look like this year. And I think during the regular season, they'll struggle. I would trust them in the playoffs maybe a little more than some of the teams I put above them. But for the regular season, that's a different ballgame. Maybe they're higher. Maybe, you know, don't make me eat my words. Maybe you guys can come back and make fun of me for not believing in the Wolves and they'll be the one seed this year, blah, blah, blah. But I don't believe that much in this team in the regular season. At 4 seed, the Grizzlies jumping all the way up from out of the playoffs, away at the bottom of the conference, to being a top 4 seed. And that's because this roster is very well constructed. I love the Grizzlies roster construction. I think some people are kind of forgetting that when they play, when they're healthy, when they play games together, they're a really good team. They were a 2 seed not too long ago. They're kind of a wild card, I will say. This is kind of a risky take, putting them this high. You can call it clickbait, whatever. But I have high hopes for them. I really do. I think if Ja can stay healthy, he's going to be one of the best players in the league. He's insanely good at basketball. I think Zach Edey, some people, I saw post. I can't remember what Instagram account it's from, but they were grading NBA rookies before they even got into the league. And they were saying that he was going to be the bust. That's ridiculous. He hasn't even played a game yet. We're calling him a bust. That's ridiculous. And I think people just don't like him because they didn't like Purdue. They hate him, whatever. Hate is part of the game. And some people are saying, oh, he's only good because he's big. Well, guess what? Every NBA player is big. Like, Shaq was only, if you made Shaq 5'5", he wouldn't be very good either. But that's not a realistic scenario because Shaq is not 5'5". Shaq probably hasn't been 5'5 since he was 2. And Zach Edey, I think he could really help them. I think hopefully he'll be solid and fit in well with this team. And if he can do that, then I think this team will actually be a contender. And we'll just have to see the team, how good the team actually is. At the 3 seed, starting off the top 3 for the West, the Nuggets are tough. I originally had them a little lower. I had them lower than the Wolves, but then the Wolves dropped, so they jumped up a little bit. The fact is, the Nuggets, they've continuously lost players that I think should be, that they should have kept, right? The KCP, big loss last year. Bruce Brown, Jeff Green the year before. That's rough. And the Nuggets fans are upset with the management because the management's not bringing in players to fill those spots. However, they have Nikola Jokic. It's the same thing as the Bucks, right? They have a guy so good that he single-handedly raises their floor and their ceiling. And Jokic is so good that not only is he going to raise the team's floor and ceiling, but he's going to raise every player's around him floor and ceiling. So although Christian Brown, I like Brown. I think I'm a fan of his game, but would he be crazy impactful on another team? Maybe not. Maybe. Who knows? But alongside Nikola Jokic can make him impactful, which is why I still have this team high. And, of course, Russell Westbrook joining the team. Now, it's no longer 2017 Russ. It's no longer MVP Russ. He's no longer. But he's still impactful. I was watching the preseason game, and I try not to put too much weight into the preseason. We'll talk about the preseason a little bit in upcoming episodes. But they had their first games yesterday, as of when I'm recording this. Yesterday, as of when I'm recording this. And he got a little overexcited. He took some shots. I was like, that's not a great shot. But every player gets excited when they've just joined a team. He was passing well for a guy who just got there. He had 8 assists, and he looked like he'd been on that team for much longer than he had, which I think should be a very, very exciting concept to Nuggets fans, that he's already looking like, hey, I know how these guys play. I know what my role is on this team. And he hit 3 of 6 threes. He shot 6 threes and hit 3, which, I mean, that's not what Russ normally looks like. His jump shot looked different, which I thought was interesting. It looks like he might have changed his jump shot, or maybe I just couldn't remember his jump shot, but it did look different. And it was working. So if it's working, keep doing it. The Nuggets are going to need that because their spacing isn't great. They're still a good team. They've still got Jokic, and that's enough. The 2 seed, the Mavs, a finals team. How about that? They only got better, too. They've got a full year to kind of mesh their team. It'll be interesting to see Lively and Gafford, which one of them starts, if they kind of split it. They're both really good players. And I think Lively's young, so he could potentially take a jump. But Gafford is already pretty established. I love the Clay signing. I love it. Some people, but he went 0 for 10 in an elimination game. I don't care. He's no longer who he used to be. He's no longer the Clay Thompson that was part of that Golden State Warriors dynasty. But he's still one of the best shooters of all time. Right? Top 3 shooter of all time. Locked in. He's still got those mechanics. He's still got the jump shot. He can still shoot. And if anyone's going to get him open, it's going to be Luka Doncic, right? You know, Jokic too, but Jokic isn't on the team. And Luka Doncic is really good at getting the ball to shooters. And I think that's a big reason why they made the finals last year, is because PJ Washington looked like one of the best catch-and-shoot shooters in the league because Luka was getting him so many good looks. And shout out to PJ, he was knocking him down. And that's why I think Luka is going to be one of the favorites for MVP. Once again, we'll get to the awards later. But that team's going to be really good. They'll make another push. And the one seed in the West, this team is ridiculous. It's the Thunder. They're so well built. Shout out Sam Presti. He's probably the best general manager in basketball today. It just keeps getting better, and they've got experience now. They're my favorites in the West. They're scary. They've brought in Caruso and Hartenstein, which I think were both really good signings. They've still got Shea. They've still got J-Dub. Chet will jump, I think. And even if he doesn't, he's still a ridiculously good player. They've got so many young guys. They brought in even more, right? They drafted Topic, I believe that's how you pronounce that. Then he has had some injury concerns. I can't remember exactly for how long he's out, if at all. But he does have some injury concerns. So we'll kind of see, like, they're going to have to fight it out for who plays because there's so many good players on that roster. And then the other question kind of is, they've got so much draft capital, and are they going to keep it all? Because how many rookies do you need, right? How many young guys do you need? Because you're trying to build a contender, and the best way to build a contender, I think, is guys, good players with experience. And I'm not saying they should get rid of all their draft picks, but are they going to move some of them to get, like, a really impactful player? Last year, they did move some of them, but it was to get Gordon Hayward, who then retired. Shout out to him for a great NBA career. But I just don't think that he was what you'd call an impactful player at that point in his career. But if they could bring in a more impactful player with some of that draft capital, maybe they look at a team who's like, hey, we kind of want... I'm just saying, I was talking about if Laurie gets moved to a contender, and the Jazz could probably use draft capital. I'm not speaking it into existence. I'm trying not to speak it out of existence, but I'm just saying it's a possibility. It might not be. I haven't actually looked at the money. I haven't looked at. I haven't, like, thrown it into a trade creator or anything like that. But those are my predictions for the West. Like I said, extremely competitive. Who knows? Like, some of those teams will probably prove me extremely wrong. That's what happens every year. Full transparency, I had the Suns really high last year. I won't say exactly where, but I thought they were going to be great, and they got swept in the first round. I didn't think they were going to win the championship or anything like that, but I thought they were going to be good. They weren't that great. Now I'm saying they're going to be solid. Maybe they're not that solid, or maybe I was just a year early with my great prediction. The Wolves could move up. There's so many teams that could prove me so wrong. But that's why we make the predictions, to laugh at ourselves in a year. And moving on to the last set of predictions that we've got. I've been talking for a while here. I appreciate anyone who's still listening. I know this is dragging on for the first episode, but I like to go in depth. I don't want to just fly by, because I want to give you guys my reasoning as to why I think all these things. I think that sparks debate. Like I said, hit me up on socials if you've got any sort of debate or anything like that. So the awards. The MVP, I'm going to give it to Luka Doncic. If I'm a media voter, I'm casting my guess. It's Luka Doncic. He continues to have the stats. He's had the stats for years, right? He's averaging 30 points, almost triple-double. He's putting up 2K stats, pretty much. He would have won it last year, I think, if they weren't a lower seed. Teams at the fifth seed don't often win MVP. That's just not something that happens, right? 2017 Russ is kind of an outlier. He could still win it if that team doesn't take a huge jump, but I think they will, which only helps his case. Some honorable mentions. Shea. A lot of people are saying he should have won last year. he very well could this year. I was between Shea and Luka, and it was kind of just a coin flip. But I think the media wants to give Luka his respect since they've not given that to him maybe past years. While Shea, maybe they're thinking, he's still got time. He'll get one eventually, blah, blah, blah. Luka still has time as well. They're both very young, and I just, who knows? Like, Shea will probably be on the better team, but might not have as crazy of numbers because of how good that roster is. It'll all depend on how healthy they stay, everything like that, how well their team does, what numbers they put up. Jokic, I don't think, will win just because of voter fatigue, and I don't think their team will be as good as it has been. Shout out to Jokic for getting 3 MVPs. I don't think he'll get another one just because the voters don't like giving people more than 3 MVPs. They normally don't even like giving them 3. Giannis, similar thing. I think they've got some voter fatigue, and then along with Jokic, team weakness. I just don't think the Bucks are going to be one of the top seeds in the East. And then Embiid just never stays healthy. If he could, maybe he'd be my pick, but he doesn't, so I don't believe that he will win. Defensive player of the year. Everyone's saying it, and I am part of that group. Wembanyama. He already puts up the stats to win this award. Like last year, he already had better counting stats than Rudy Gobert. So the one thing is their team defense is going to have to take a jump. Last year, they were the 21st best defense in the league. So they're going to have to jump from being one of the worst teams in the, you know, they were okay defensively, but they're in the bottom half. Not many defensive players of the year come from bottom half teams. But I think he should have that award on lock as long as that team can, you know, step up alongside him and keep a high defensive rating, everything like that. Gobert, I just think voter fatigue will drag him down. They don't want to give him any more defensive player of the years. I think he's probably done. Bam doesn't have the crazy stats than Wembanyama has. I think he's just as impactful of a defender at this point in their careers. He's incredible. He's probably the most switchable big in the league. But he's averaging, I can't remember exactly how many blocks he averaged last year, but it damn sure wasn't Wemby's. Anthony Davis, once again, their team defense weakness hurts him. They were only 17th last year, so better than the Spurs, but once again, doesn't put up the numbers of Wembanyama. But I think maybe if they could bring in some defensive pieces, maybe a good defensive center, you know, Mitchell Robinson, something like that, because he is on the trade block, according to rumors, then their team defense takes a jump. He takes a jump in the ratings. Mobley, I think it would be my last kind of honorable mention for this. The Cavs team just might not look the same, which just makes me uncertain. And then, once again, he doesn't put up Wemby stats. That's Wemby's award to lose. And if he loses it, it'll probably be because the team lost it for him. No offense to the rest of the Spurs. Rookie of the Year. This is a highly contested race. This is ridiculously close. And Rookie of the Year, I almost always get wrong. Last year, I got it right because I said Wembanyama like everyone else. If you didn't say that, you were just trying to be different. And I am going to give this to Alex Sarr. I am a big believer in Sarr's game. He had a rough summer league. He did. I'll admit that. But he has a unique skill set. Defensive-oriented players I just like in terms of how good I think they'll be. So I think he has a good chance to win it. But maybe he doesn't even make an all-rookie team. Who knows? That's my shot in the dark, and I just don't really know. Modis Buzelis would probably be my second choice. He could also very well win this award. Once again, I don't really know. Reed Shepard could win, but I just think he has a lack of opportunity in Houston. He's not going to be a starting player. He might not even be the top option off the bench. So it's just going to be rough for him to win Rookie of the Year as someone who doesn't have a ton of opportunity. Zach Edey could be overshadowed in Memphis. Maybe he is just big. Maybe he doesn't. I don't know. This is such a hard award. And then Zachary Richesche, which I don't know how to pronounce that name. I'm sorry. I can't do it. we'll have to see how he translates. A lot of people are saying, oh, I don't think, I already kind of had a rant about that when I was talking about the Hawks, but he's a good basketball player. We'll see. The first overall picks, I don't know. It's kind of a boring pick, so instead I'll be very different and go with the second overall pick. Most improved player, this one I'm going to give to Jalen Johnson. Like I said when I was talking about the Hawks, he's shown signs of improvement already, and he'll have more room to grow without Murray. That's kind of where I'm at. He's just going to be able to grow. I think, like I said, his game shows ability and opportunity for growth. I think he'll be a really solid player, and hopefully for the Hawks, he'll be able to take a jump. Kuminga would probably be my second option. He has more opportunity without Thompson on the team, but he's also going to have more defensive pressure, and I just don't know if he's going to be that good as to get this award. Wembanyama, he's currently the betting odds favorite, which I think is interesting, and I think it's interesting that we give it to players who are already great, because I feel like, me personally, if I was voting on this award, for Victor Wembanyama to win Most Improved Player, he'd have to go from already really good and in all NBA discussions to like MVP top five, which I don't think he'll be in. And I don't want him to win that award, not because I don't like Wembanyama, not because I don't think that he deserves to be recognized, but because like he's not a most improved player. He was already really good and he'd have to get so much better. I don't think he should be the favorite right now, but I'll still mention him because he could still win that award. He'll still improve. Josh Giddey, like I said when I was talking about Chicago, I think he'll have more opportunity, and if he can fix some of his shooting issues, particularly in the clutch, I already talked about that. And then, of course, I got to get a Bias Nets take at some point in the video. I put him as the 15th seed. I'm trying to be as unbiased as I can, but Cam Thomas is my fifth pick for Most Improved Player because I refuse to not have a Nets here. I know he was already in contention last year, but he could establish himself as a top scorer in the league this year, potentially, and he could grow in the other aspects, and I think if he can show that he's not a cone on defense and can play make a little bit, he could really he could make a push for that award. Sixth man of the year, also highly contested. My pick is Malik Monk. I don't really know. He's going to continue to be the spark plug off the bench for Sacramento. I think he's going to put up great numbers. Now, I predicted Sacramento to not be great, so probably they'd have to be better than I predicted for them to win this award, so I'm kind of contradicting myself with my takes here, but I don't know who else. Naz Reid would be my second choice. He's going to bring the same reliability. It'll be interesting to see what role he's in with the new roster. That's kind of why I moved him down a little bit, is I don't know what he's going to look like. While Malik Monk, yes, they brought in DeMar DeRozan, who's going to take some of his opportunity, but he's still that guy off the bench. Well, the Timberwolves, I don't really know. So that could change things. Norman Powell, they're going to need him so much so that he's going to have to be really good off the bench. One of the reasons I think one of the knocks I have on him is he might start, because they might get tired of Terrence Mann and say, hey, Norm, we're just going to start you. And that would change, or maybe they start him over Derek Jones Jr. or something like that. I don't mean to throw Terrence Mann under the bus, but they're going to really need him. Man, that team's dysfunctional. Then the Knicks are an interesting team, and I've got Josh Hart down as my next pick for sixth man of the year, but I don't know. Does Josh Hart start? Does Thibodeau get everyone injured by playing them all 48 minutes a game? And then, they all, maybe he gets injured, maybe someone else gets injured. Mikal Bridges has, so far, knock on wood, not gotten injured. He hasn't missed a game in his NBA or collegiate career, which is insane. But Thibs is going to do his very best to change that. But he's off the bench. If Josh Hart is off the bench, if they can stay away from injury issues, he'll be a top contender. Plus, he's in a big market, which always helps with awards. And New York is one of the biggest markets there is. And then I got a dark horse pick, Benedict Mathurin. I'd be surprised if this happened. I was just kind of thinking through the options. I was like, hey, this is a fun option. Spark a little discussion. The kid's talented. I could see a jump. Hopefully he'll jump for the Pacers, for the Pacers organization. They're going to hope he jumps. I think he'll probably come off the bench, which it's my dark horse pick, you know, like that way, if he wins Sixth Man of the Year, I can say, hey, I told you so. And that's all the predictions we've got for today. I know I talked a lot in this episode. I'm not sure what the final time is going to look like, but I'm sure it's going to be a whole bunch. But thank you for everyone who listened the whole way, or even if you just listened a little bit, tune in. I really appreciate it. Once again, you have any questions, suggestions, requests, anything like that, hit me up on socials. Once again, Just Talk Hoops on Twitter, /X, whatever you want to call it, and Just Talk Hoops Pod on Instagram. And I look forward to seeing where this podcast can go. I'm hoping that we can grow a little bit in popularity. If not, I just talk hoops. This is what I do a lot of the time. Just ask anyone really who knows me. And I'm excited to be starting this. I'm excited to see what this season will bring us, even though my predictions will probably be wrong. But hey, you never know. And once again, thank you guys for listening and have a great week.